Today's scripture is taken from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And it reads, "Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' He asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' The reply came, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. So I want to first start off by thanking Ray, who shared his faith and testimony with us last Sunday. Wasn't it a great message? Yeah. It's amazing to hear what happened in Ray's life and how God was calling him in certain directions, and we are thankful that God led him to our doorstep about, I think, 8 years ago. And I hope that you think about how God calls each and every one of you and acts in your life. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you guide my words, that they reflect your truth, that the scriptures are told, and that you know the reflections we have on these words, Lord, for you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So as you know, we have an ESL citizenship class that happens here Monday to Friday every day of the week. And on Mondays, it's my turn as the staff person to open the doors for the ESL class and also, of course, close the doors when the teacher and the class and the students are gone. And Mondays, because it's just me in the church during that day, I sometimes like to sit on the steps leading up to the second floor and listen in on the class. Before, for the past about 2 years, the teacher of the class has been a Mandarin Chinese Cantonese speaking teacher. But lately, because in September they got a new teacher, they had a Hispanic woman who was teaching this ESL class to mostly Chinese Cantonese Mandarin students. So it's been an interesting class. Sometimes she'll say something in English and they'll ask her to wait and they'll put in something in their cell phone and then Google Translate will say a thing back. So it's kind of interesting to see their interaction. But this ESL teacher, she's really great. She knows the goal of her class is to help these immigrant students eventually pass their citizenship test. And the citizenship test is pretty intense. If you've ever been through it or know someone that's been through it, you have paperwork you have to fill out. You have to be here a certain amount of time, you have to have references, you have to take a written test, and you also have to take an oral test. And it seems that the oral test is the one that makes the students the most nervous, and the teacher knows this, so she spends a lot of time with these students practicing for the oral test. So as I'm sitting on the steps listening to her teach the class, I hear her ask these many questions to the students. Because the oral test, for them to study it, it's a booklet, it has 100 questions in it. 100 is a lot. It's questions about our U.S. currently and also past. And the students, she'll ask them these questions and they have to recite the answer because it's something that they have to get used to hearing orally, because when they're interviewed, they're going to be asked 10, just only 10 of these 100 questions. And to pass the test, you have to get 6 out of the 10 right. Now, you might think, oh, well, that's easy if you're a citizen or if you were born in the U.S. or you've been here long enough that you would know. But let me just give you a test. You know, church, I like giving you some tests. So here's a test, a sample of 10 questions. And I promise you, they get a little bit harder as they go. And just say the answer out loud. So first, who was the first president of the United States? There you go. 1 point, okay? You need to get 6 to pass this test. Who is the current president of the United States? Okay, pretty good. Yeah. What is the capital of your state? Sacramento. Okay, pretty good. What is the minimum voting age for a U.S. citizen? Okay, good. Everyone knew that. Now it's starting to be a little bit harder. What are the two parts of the U.S. Congress? House of Representatives and... There you go. Proud and loud. I like that. Okay. When was the Declaration of Independence adopted? In July 4, 1776. Oh, you guys are good. Oh, here's one. Why are there 13 stripes on the U.S. flag? 13 colonies. Oh, you know your U.S. history. Okay, now here's a more tricky one, and this is in honor of Kelsey and Carl. They might be able to help you. The Federalist Papers supported the passage of the U.S. Constitution. Name one of the writers. Don't say anything, Kelsey and Carl. Okay. Hamilton, right? So if you know, Kelsey and Carl went to see the play yesterday, that's why. So yes, Alexander Hamilton was one of the writers of the Federalist Papers. James Madison, John Jay, and Publius was another person. That means just public. But could you have listed those names? Maybe if Hamilton wasn't such a popular play, would people have known he was one of the writers of the Federalist Papers? Okay, this is one that might be a little bit easy, and you can just shout out because it's multiple choice, multiple answers. Name one of the wars fought by the United States in the 1900s. Just yell it. World War I, World War II, Gulf War, and there's two more. Korean War and Vietnam War. Okay, so you guys are pretty good. And then there's like random questions. You know, so you've done the ones about how our current government is structured. You name past and present presidents. You know about the history of the flag and special dates in our U.S. history, Constitution, Federalist Papers. There's even this question that says, name one of the two longest rivers in the United States. Mississippi. And what's the second one? It also starts with an M. Missouri. Yeah, so they imagine the students, right, having to deal with these 100 questions. And I promise, I picked what I thought was the easier ones, okay? Imagine them having to study these 100 questions and then the nervousness of having to answer these questions in English, which is not their first language, and all the work they do. I'm amazed by the students and how hard they work. We have students who have been in this class for over a year and a half because they've had an interview or they've submitted paperwork and have not been passed. But they keep trying to do this because they know they want to become a U.S. citizen. For the ESL teacher, I love her, she is teaching the students that for them to become an ESL citizen, that it is a privilege and not a right. Have you guys heard about that, like the difference between a privilege and a right? They say that a right is something that you are born with. It is an inherent thing that cannot be taken away from you. Just as you were born in your family, you are a right or a heritage of that family. Your parents can't disown you, and you have certain benefits and gains from being part of that family. It is your right that you have, but it is done by birth. It is not done by something you've done or by an action. It's not something you earned. You just are born into that right. But a privilege is something different. A privilege is an advantage or a benefit that is given to you because of a certain thing you do or because of your actions. So for example, human freedom is a right. We are all humans. We all have the right to equality regardless of race or gender or class or education. We are all we have the right to have freedom no matter what our circumstance is because we are all human beings. But a privilege instead is a driver's license. Having a driver's license is a privilege. You study for it, you hopefully studied for it, you take the written and the behind the wheel test, and it's a privilege that can be taken away. And though there is a difference that we need to know about. And as humans born, we all have the right to love. Love of parents, love of siblings, love of spouse, love of family and friends, even love of our fellow church members. We all have that right. But as Christians, we need to understand that God's love that we receive is not a right, but a privilege. We receive God's love and grace and mercy and forgiveness, and we receive salvation and forgiveness of our sins because it is a privilege that God gives to us. We must remember then to have the right actions to earn that privilege and to deserve that privilege. And so for the past few Sundays, I've been talking about 8 different people in the Bible that God called. And we all know, and maybe this will be kind of fun for the SCBC guest as well, God calls many, many people in the scriptures, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the book of Genesis alone, God calls 10 different people to do specific things. Just name different people in the Bible that God calls. Just shout them out loud. Let's know our and say our scriptures. Don't be shy. Shout them out loud. Oh, Paul, Noah, Moses, Ruth, Esther, you know, we could go on and on. Mary, Joseph, all the prophets, Paul, all the 12 disciples, like Judas. Yeah, he even called Judas, who eventually betrayed Jesus. God calls so many people. But there's this unique thing that in the scriptures, God calls 8 people specifically. And when he calls them, he says their name not just once, but he says it twice, 2 times in a row. It's kind of like I've said before, like, you know, when you're a child and you get in trouble, don't sometimes your parents say your name either twice or they say your full name? So when I was in trouble, my parents wouldn't just say Eva. They would say Eva Jisantai, you know, or something like that, right? My English and Chinese name. Or sometimes when a teacher is calling on you in class, they don't just say your name once, but they say it twice pretty strictly in a row because they know you're not paying attention. But God does this. He's calling these people in the Bible, 8 different people, 8 different times, and when he calls on them, he doesn't say their name just once, but he says their name twice, 2 times in a row. So we know that God called Abraham. He said, Abraham, Abraham, and he called Abraham to pass the test of sacrificing his son on the altar. And we know that God called Jacob. He said, Jacob, Jacob, calling Jacob to take his people to see Joseph, to help his people survive in this time of famine. And we know that God called Moses, 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 when he appeared before him in the burning bush, calling Moses to help free his Israelites, the people. And we know that God called the young boy Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. He said his name twice, 2 times in a row in the middle of the night, calling Samuel to be the voice for him to the people. And we know that God, when through Jesus, was visiting Martha and Mary, that Jesus called Mary Martha twice, saying her name, Martha, Martha, teaching Martha that she did not need to be busy with the things and chores of the household, but instead needed to focus on Jesus before her and listen to his words. And we learned 2 weeks ago and talked about Simon Peter when Jesus was sitting with his disciples at the Last Supper, and he said, Simon, Simon, because he was telling Simon Peter that he was soon to betray him. But he said his name 2 times, Simon, Simon. And we know that also when Jesus was on the cross, he called out, my God, calling on God twice, calling on himself for strength as well. And this morning, we're going to look at Saul and how Saul was called by Jesus. And when Saul was called by Jesus, his name was said twice, Saul, Saul. And in this morning's scripture passage from Acts 9, verse 1 through 5, we see the life of Saul and how and who he was. Saul was not a very happy person. He thought he was righteous. He grew up in a Pharisee family. He was well-respected and educated, and he thought the best way to serve his government and his people was then to be a persecutor of Christians. We know that Saul, in this morning's passage, was so angry against the Christians that he was breathing threats of murder against them. He even went to the high priest in the synagogues of Damascus and asked for a special letter so that he could then go into the homes and arrest the people who were claiming to be Christians. He hated Christians that much. But Saul's life was not a happy life. I'd like to say that Saul was just really so unhappy in his life that he took out that unhappiness on the Christians. His life was empty, and he knew it was empty, and he thought he was filling it up with the things that would make him happy, of bringing in Christians to be persecuted. Saul was not happy in his life. He was spiritually blind, they say. And don't we all, if we are honest, know someone who maybe just for some reason is not happy in their life? My husband, Phil, and I, we have this friend named Jason. And Jason has a great life. He has a good job teaching at a university. He has one son who's doing well at school and sports and grades. He has a wonderful wife who also works and supports him in the home. He is an only child, so Jason's parents lived 2 blocks away and still bring, you know, Jason's like in his 40s, they still bring him home-cooked meals for him and his wife and family to eat. And Jason has this great study that Phil envies because he has one wall full of just books, 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 and another wall full of videos and DVDs and all the things that Jason loves to collect. He's daily getting Amazon orders to his house. But Jason, for some reason, is just always unhappy. Nothing is good in his life. Phil and I call Jason behind his back, I hate to admit it. We call him Eeyore. you know Eeyore? The really just sad person in the Winnie the Pooh stories. You all have an Eeyore friend, right? If you really think about it, you might have an Eeyore in your life. So when Jason, for Christmas, his son buys him, this was a couple years ago, an iPod, Jason is not happy with it because it's a black one instead of the silver one that he wanted. Or when Jason got a promotion at the university where he was teaching, he was unhappy because it meant he had to move to a different office, and the office was farther away from the break room. You know, he's just that, he's an Eeyore in your life. Or one time we went out to breakfast and Jason ordered his egg sunny side up and the waitress bought it and one of the yolks had broken and he was just so unhappy and he couldn't eat the rest of his meal. And then we had to wait while his eggs were recooked because we didn't want to be rude and eat while he was waiting. He's just an Eeyore in his life. There is something in a person's life that makes them unhappy. Maybe something they are missing, and then because of that, it affects how they are in their whole life and around the people around them. So I want to say that that was what was happening to Saul in his life. He was unhappy, he was angry, he was missing something. He was spiritually blind. They say that Saul, when he finally was doing all these horrible killings, these persecutions, going into homes, private homes of people, taking out men and women who were just being in prayer or just worshiping together, he was persecuting them, bringing them back to the city so they then could be executed. And as Saul was traveling around and approaching Damascus, maybe bringing people back to the capital, they say that suddenly a flash of light from heaven flashed around him. And Saul fell to the ground, and he heard a voice calling out to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And again here, Saul's name is not just said once, but twice. "Saul, Saul, pay attention. Listen to this question I'm asking you. Why do you persecute me?" They say that the light blinded Saul for 3 days and he was not even able to eat or drink, and the soldiers that were with him had to help him back to the city. In Jesus' ministry, he warns all the time about spiritual blindness, and this is what was happening to Saul. He was spiritually blind. He did not have God's glory in his life, and he spent his whole life not seeking God's glory, but instead seeking human glory. In Jesus' ministry, he talks often, and there's a great passage from John chapter 12, verse 40, where Jesus says, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that they might not look with their eyes and not understand with their heart. But Jesus said, in turn, I will heal them." Jesus is referencing the words of the prophet Isaiah that warns the people to not have hardened hearts, but instead to have love for God and to open their eyes. But we know that if you do not open your eyes and have a heart for God, then your heart instead becomes more and more hard each day. You become more and more lonely, more and more sad, more and more anxious. You become spiritually blind. It is so much so that they say that instead people are seeking human glory, to seek that right house or to seek human approval. But instead we lose sight of seeking God's glory and His approval. So then when Jesus is calling Saul, he's saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He's asking Saul the most important question. Why are you so angry? Why are you spiritually blind? Why are you saying that I am wrong? We must listen to the voice of Christ as Christ calls each and every one of us when we are sad, when we are angry, when we are depressed. God calls us through Jesus Christ to follow him. And so in this morning's passage, Jesus is calling to Saul and saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" But then he goes on to tell him to get up and to go into the city, and he will be told later what to do. We know that Saul, when he hears his name being called, he says, "Who are you, Lord?" He does not even recognize that it is the Lord that is calling him. He is wondering about these things. Saul must learn from Jesus to remember to be called like Jesus was called for a specific ministry. He must not have a hard heart, but have open eyes and a heart that is ready to receive God's love for him. For we know that Jesus said many things throughout his ministry. And if you look at the 7 last words that Jesus said on the cross, there are 7 specific things that we can learn from and that Saul in his days would learn from as well. For we know that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgiveness is such an important thing that when we say we are called by Jesus, we must also learn to be forgiving people. We are often wrong and hold grudges, and my husband always makes fun of me because he says that I hold grudges against strangers. you know, it's easier to do, right? So like when someone is, we're fighting for a parking lot space in the grocery store and someone cuts in front of me, and then I see that person get out of the car and I have to find a space, but I'm in the market later and I see that person in the market, I want to like follow them around and give them the evil eye. Phil says, why do you always hold grudges against strangers? But we do need to learn to be more forgiving people, especially when our own family members and friends might do us wrong. We need to love and forgive them, just as Saul needed to realize he needed to love and forgive people. We also know that Jesus said on the cross before he died, truly as I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. To realize that our goal in life is not to have such a wonderful life as it is, and it is a blessing that all that God gives us, but the real goal is to have eternal life with God, to know as Jesus knew on the cross that he will be in paradise with the Lord. And then also Jesus said, as his mother was before him on the cross, he said, woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother. Jesus is reminding the people of that family connection, that human family connection that is so important as well. And we today then are encouraged to be great family members, great brothers or sisters or spouses or aunts or uncles or cousins to each other. And we know that many of us even have family members who do not yet have Christ in their hearts, and it is up to us to tell them about God's love and about how wonderful Christ is. We also know that Jesus did ask God, why have you forsaken me? But he didn't ask it because he was blaming God. He was asking it because he was telling God to give him strength during that time. And we ourselves can always call on God to have strength. And Saul himself, later, as we read throughout Acts and other scriptures, that called on God for strength as he was starting these churches. We also know that Jesus said, I thirst, and we ourselves must always thirst for God, again seeking God's glory and not human glory. And finally, before Jesus passed away, he said these words, it is finished, and also, Father, into your hands I commend your spirit. I close with a story that the current family fellowship group, we've been reading Francis Chan's Crazy Love book. It's a great book. I know some of our youth and young adults have read it as well. And Francis Chan, in the story, there's a story he says as a pastor about one of his parishioners, a man named Stan. And this man in his church named Stan was at a friend's funeral. And Stan was asked to say a few words, a sort of a eulogy for his friend. And Stan went up and he said, talked about his friend, but at the end, Stan said the question, are you ready? Stan was saying that his faith was so great and he knew God so well that he was ready, that if any time if he were to pass away, he'd be ready to go before the Lord, because he always sought God's glory. And then Francis Chan said that his church member, Stan, after speaking at the funeral, went and sat down during the funeral service and passed away. He slumped over, I guess, and passed away. Now, I know it's a crazy story, but at any point in your life, it could be taken, and life is so precious. We need to be able to answer the question, are you ready? So when Jesus is calling to Saul and saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And to go on into the city and to listen for my instructions, Saul is hearing Jesus really truly calling him for the first time, because Jesus is going to take away that spiritual blindness he has, that hardness in his heart. He's going to open his eyes and give him true sight, not just that physical sight of not being able to see for a few days, but true sight about how to seek God's glory. So when we talk about being called by God, know that you should read Scripture and know God better through Scripture, that you should pray more often and have a deeper relationship with God, and that you should also answer when Jesus Christ calls you to follow him, just as Saul did in this morning's passage. For each and every one of us receives the wonderful privilege of being loved by God and being called by Christ to follow in his footsteps and to do as he does. Let us pray. Lord God, you are our Heavenly Father, and we are so thankful for the privilege of your love, the way that you created and formed each and every one of us, and give us the gift of your love and mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, open our hearts and our eyes and our ears to hear you when you call us, to say our name not just once or twice, but so many times until we answer you, Lord. We are so thankful for the way that you call us to be your sons and daughters, to serve one another, to love one another.